Good morning, everyone. This is Judy Morio, and this is Choices. Thank you for joining me today. We have a fun guest, one of my favorite people in the whole world today, and we're going to be talking about the subject of public speaking. Now, I've been a public speaker for, 100 years, or at least most of my life, so very, very long time, and I feel the fear sometimes still, even after all these years of speaking, and today we're going to talk about that fear just a little bit, but public speaking and the Book of List is listed as the number one fear that people have, that all people have. It says that most people are afraid to get up in front of other people and talk. And my wonderful guest today is a lady that I met a few years ago, and she's an author. She's written for the Life Choices book series, and she's written all kinds of magazine articles and articles on public speaking. And she is not only a speaker herself, but she also coaches other speakers, both live and online. So if you have a desire to overcome your fear of public speaking, you may just want to listen today and tune in and get in touch with her. My guest is Deborah Clark. Deborah, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. It's great to be working with you again. I love it.
Oh, it's always wonderful to work with you. Now, Deborah, I understand that you went into public speaking sort of when you lost your job. Is that right?
Yes, I actually went into it full-time when I lost my job, but originally I kind of cut my teeth on my Toastmasters International membership, where I really learned a lot of my skills and completed the modules and earned my DTM Distinguished Toastmaster.
Well, now Toastmasters International is an incredible organization. I myself belong to Toastmasters and have for about 40 years. And I believe we should just tell our listeners a little bit about it in case they don't know. Toastmasters is an organization that anyone can belong to. You can join right in your own town, and you will learn public speaking skills, and also you will learn leadership skills. And it's a wonderful networking opportunity to work with people who are from all walks of life, but people who are positive, people who want to be more, do more, and they like to hang out with other positive people. So, Deborah, good for you that you joined Toastmasters long before you lost your job. So let's talk about that again. You learned how to speak at Toastmasters?
Yes. I was fortunate in that my job had a corporate club that met during lunch hour, so I was able to go to classes regularly. I was very active. I was a club president, an area governor, a district governor, and all that I was doing while I was working. And when I did lose my job, I already had acquired a lot of speaking experience with Toastmasters. I was giving workshops at conferences. I was training other mentors, other members. So I was already coaching and mentoring other individuals. So it was an easy transition, but it was a great opportunity that I had those skills and I had something that I could do.
And isn't it wonderful sometimes that we do lose our job, that it kind of pushed you out for something that you really love doing? I think sometimes we hang on to security long after we should just move forward. And here you've gone into something that you really love to do now.
Yes, yes. And I think it's also important to know that just because you have a job, don't let that be your all. You should always have something else that you're doing. And while you're working, it's the best time to seek out other avenues of self-expression. I tell everyone to join Toastmasters. It absolutely changed my life. But that doesn't mean you want to be a public speaker. But you should consider volunteer work or anything that gives you a chance to kind of find what your passion is, what it is that you really can give yourself to.
Yes, and did you ever have that fear? You know, we talk about public speaking being the number one fear. Did you ever feel that? What is that fear, Deborah?
The fear for me was, you know, because I was an administrative assistant manager in corporate, so I had all supervised and trained people. I kind of spoke as part of my job, so I didn't really have a fear of it. In fact, I didn't even think I needed to join Toastmasters. I was one of those, I don't need that. I'm already speaking. Boy, did I have a lot to learn. You can speak, but there's a way to do it. You know, there's parts of the speech. There's types of speeches. So it was a real learning curve for me when I joined and I started speaking. And through the warm support of the group, people would say, you know, as you complete your modules and fulfill the objectives, you really learn how to do it. So I didn't have a fear. I guess I didn't know I needed to know.
Isn't that true sometimes when we just don't know what we need to know? Yeah.
No,
I was already... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I didn't know that I didn't know.
Yeah, I know. I was already speaking as a profession before I discovered Toastmasters, and I'll tell you what, once I got started in Toastmasters, I couldn't quit because I just learned so much. It's an incredible thing. But why do you think people are afraid of public speaking?
There's such a phobia to it, and that's pretty much where my program kind of came in because, you know, I was part of the Life Choices book series, and this project, this program that I offer to people actually was born out of my networking for the Life Choices books. And as I would go to functions and meet people, and I would tell them I was a professional speaker and I mentored them, I would get the same response over and over. I need that. Wow, I need that. And these were other professionals like myself who have businesses. It wasn't that they weren't speaking, but it was so traumatic for them. It was every time they had to meet with a new customer, they were afraid to death of it. They would get through it, but it wasn't a good feeling. And I was very surprised because a lot of times people are avoiding any possibility of having to speak, and that's just closing the door to so many opportunities when you shut it out. You know, beginning of my book, no public speaking. No, I don't do that. And it just limits you so much if you just disregarded the panic. Even you mentioned that, okay, some of that never goes away. And that's good that you get that churning in your stomach, but you cannot disregard it as something you can do because we can all do it.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I think, too, sometimes people are afraid of public speaking because they're afraid of what other people will think. Well, what if I get up in front of the room and I make a fool of myself? Or what if I'm not dressed right? Or what if people find something wrong with me? Or what if I say it wrong? And so I believe it also has a lot to do with, you know, that wanting, that need for approval. Do you believe that's true?
Oh, absolutely. But we do that to ourselves with all aspects of our life. So to put public, but I think the public speaking, people really tend to put that in the no zone, and that fear of even trying just stifles them so much. It's really bad for some people, very bad.
Can anybody be a public speaker?
I think everybody is a public speaker. They just don't know it. I think that when you learn about public speaking, and that's part of what I try to do with people, to try to break down that phobia and explain to them that if you take public speaking in relationship to what you're doing, you're talking. I'm talking to you right now. It's the two of us. It could be three of us. It could be four of us. And if you look at it from, okay, instead of just talking to you, I'm going to talk to everybody. And it's not that bad. Once you know what public speaking is and what it can do, you look at it differently. You look at other people who speak differently. And instead of sitting back and saying, wow, look at them, I could never do that. Once you know what they're doing, oh, there's their opening. That was a really good opening. You listen to the body of their speech. Oh, I understand what he's going to be talking about. You recognize the closing of the speech. Wow, that was a really good closing. And you say, I could do that. In fact, I could probably do that better. And that, I think, is a result of being a Toastmaster because we tend to look at every speech differently. We all funny evaluate it.
afraid to go to Toastmasters because they're afraid of being evaluated. And I found that evaluation process to be very, very helpful.
Yes, yes. It's a very warm and supportive evaluation. It is not a grade. There's no pass or fail. It's just helpful hints and feedback. And you get a chance to see what people see. You get to hear how people hear you. And there's no better way to get better at what you want to do. It's practice, practice, feedback, networking, and learning. That's all it is.
Exactly, exactly. Listeners, this is Judy Morio, and this is Choices. And today, we are speaking with Deborah Clark. Deborah is an author, a public speaker, and a speaking coach. And so thank you for joining us today. I know you're going to enjoy the rest of the show as much as you have the beginning of the show. Deborah is fun, and I love being around her and with her. She's been an author for our Life Choices book series, and she's got some incredible, incredible stories. So what I want you to do is to go over to my website, judymorio.com. That's J-U-D-I-M-O-R-E-O.com. And sign up for our free newsletter. You'll be getting our newsletter every month, and it talks about all of the positive things that you can do and the positive choices you can make in order to make your life even better than it already is. And if when you sign up for that newsletter, you're going to receive a download, a free download of Realize Who You Are. It's a recording that I did that goes along with my book, You Are More Than Enough. And I believe that the You Are More Than Enough and the Life Choices series really support what Deborah and I are talking about today, and that is self-esteem. It takes self-esteem to do the things that we need to do and want to do in our life in order to make our lives better. And so stay with us now. And Deborah, thank you for being here. We're so enjoying talking with you. Deborah, do you think public speaking is a self-esteem issue?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because people think it's something that they don't do. They think that's somebody else's job. That's something that they would never consider. So as much as I encourage people to join Toastmasters, and like you said, they're often afraid to even go to a meeting, my one-on-one coaching is a way to introduce them to public speaking on a personal level, their personal level. A lot of people, I find, especially these days, don't have time for a long-term commitment as you would need for to, in order to get the full advantage of the program. So I am able to work with individuals on just what they need. A lot of people come to me that are in career transitions. They have an opportunity to get a promotion, and now instead of talking on the phone, they have to meet one-on-one with other customers. And they're petrified, but their job depends on them getting this right. So I'm able to focus on just what they need to know to get done, what they need to get done. And once they can nail it, if you can feel like you really nailed it, then it's kind of more open to other possibilities, like at least visit the Toastmasters meeting. Even if you just get a visit one, you'll see a difference.
Yeah, now, if I just have a presentation that I have to make at work, would that be a time that I could contact you and that you would help me put that presentation together so that I could just do that one presentation better?
Yes. That's a lot of what I do. A lot of people, a lot of my clients are working on a specific presentation or an event. Sometimes they're going to a networking event and they need to work on their own personal pitch. So we'll concentrate on just that for them, what they need to get done, what they need to get done now. You know, these days, everything is instant. I need it today, and I should have did this yesterday.
I know.
Yes. So with public speaking and the anxiety that people have because they delay it or they avoid it, a lot of times it's thrust upon them when they absolutely can't avoid it anymore. So now they need to get it done. So that's why I encourage people, don't wait until you have to do it, until a situation comes where, you know, it could affect your career if you're not ready to step up to the plate. Okay, you've been avoiding it. You kind of laid low. You're always on the team, but you never present the project. And you were fine with that. But now, you can't hide anymore. Don't wait till that happens. Don't wait till that happens.
I used to do that when I was very young. I used to kind of sit there and hope they didn't see me, almost like I could be invisible, you know. And so it would be good to have the kind of training that you do with people where you work one-on-one. I actually watched you, Deborah, at one of the writers' conferences. I watched you coaching some people, and it was amazing to me how you could just zero in on the point of what they were talking about and how they needed to say it and how to most effectively say it. That was just like, it was an amazing skill that you have. Now, what is your advice for anyone who wants to get over this fear of public speaking?
I would certainly encourage them to schedule some time with me. I'm one of the professional mentor coach professionals that work through popexpert.com. It's an online one-on-one coaching where you can schedule an hour with me and we'll meet face-to-face and talk about what your needs are and concentrate on just specific items relevant to you. My Basically Speaking Mentor program is actually based on my new ebook called No Public Speaking. Don't panic. I'm here. I can help you. We'll talk about it and we'll get it done.
All right. I like that. I like that a lot. Is there a lot of preparation to putting a program together?
Well,
a lot of people just say they'd like to just get up there and just wing it. They feel like they're better if they just wing it. I mean, is that true, or do they need to be putting some effort into making sure that they say what they should be saying?
There is no quick gimmick to being a good speaker. It is not magic, folks. You have to practice. You have to write it down. You have to see what you're going to say. You try winging it, you're going to look like a bird up there flapping his wings. It's not going to look good.
I know. I used to do that. I used to get up there and just blabber away. And one time somebody videotaped me, and I saw it, and I went, oh, my goodness, I couldn't believe it. Here, I thought I was really, really good, and I didn't come to the point quickly at all. So I think preparation probably, the more you prepare, the more you can look like you're just winging it. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. And you want to look like you're winging it. I mean, preferably you want to stick to topics that you're, you know, most informed about. That's why if you have a choice, I encourage people to stick to things they like, things they know about. But sometimes you don't have that option. So you would absolutely have to write it down. Like you said, you saw in your presentation that you didn't get to the point, and that's where parts of the speech come in, the opening, the closing, the ending. So that's why it's important to know what exactly is a speech. When I have to go speak, what does that mean? And once you know what that means, you'll know where you need to go with what you want to do.
Yeah, and how do you go about building rapport with an audience? How do you get the audience to buy into your thoughts when you're up there?
You have to keep your audience in mind. Who are you talking to? What is the objective of your speech? Why are you there? You want to make sure that your opening is engaging. Don't be afraid to use humor. Storytelling is good, but you want to keep it brief and make sure it's relevant. And stick to the point, you know. In your opening, you want to tell them who you are while you're there and give them a reason to listen to you. Why should we listen to you? And once you have their attention, then you follow through, giving information. You complete your objective. Are you informing? Are you entertaining? Or are you trying to convince? And you know all that because you wrote it down.
Yeah.
That's how you know that. Put it down.
Because you practice, right?
Absolutely.
Now, let me ask you this. Is it ever appropriate to read a speech?
It depends. You don't want to actually stand there holding a piece of paper in front of you and reading line for line, although it's perfectly okay to have notes in front of you. But again, that's where your practice comes in. It's okay to refer to it, but unless you're describing something, it depends on your situation and your audience, but I prefer you didn't stand there holding a piece of paper, you know. Thank God for podiums, you know. Anything. Your favorite friend, a podium.
Yeah, to put your paper on, and then I think I've seen people very effectively pick up a piece of paper and read a poem off of it in the midst of what they were talking about. But I saw one speaker, big name author, and he had a big yellow, those yellow lined pads, like a legal pad, in front of him, and he had his head down and he read every single page, and then he would flip the paper over and read the next page and flip the paper, and I was so disappointed because I'd read his book, and I thought, wow, this guy is so smart, and then when I watched him read off of that yellow legal pad, I was very disappointed.
Whole speech he read like that?
Yeah, the whole thing was just absolutely amazing. It was very distracting from what he said because you got to thinking about his yellow pad instead of what he was talking about.
Yeah, it sounds like he didn't practice. He wrote it on the plane on his way there. I mean, that kind of so much respect for your audience. Like, okay, I just got this down on the flight here, so here it goes.
Yeah, and see, I think the audience cares that you look like you know what you're talking about and that you're prepared. It makes them feel more valuable, wouldn't you say so?
Well, absolutely. Everyone wants to feel like, look, I made the effort to come here and see you. You need to respect that. Respect your audience. They have invited you there. They are your friends. They are not your enemy. They're interested in whatever's going on or they wouldn't be there.
I noticed, Deborah, that you always, when you're on the stage, you have such an incredible voice, and you seem to avoid a monotone. How do you go about doing that, that you have different tones or different inflections to your voice?
I know I tend to be somewhat animated in my speaking. They love for me to read the scriptures at church because my pastor says it's always interesting to hear someone speak with such passion. And I think that's part of my Toastmaster training. You know how you have different types of speeches, the comedic speeches, and I'm pretty sure that's where that is born. And everyone doesn't have that, but I think if you are passionate, if you're knowledgeable and you're relaxed, you can acquire it to a certain extent. But don't try to go for it like too much, or you could come off a little too cartoonish.
yeah, a little too dramatic or as though you're acting. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, exactly. You don't want to sound like that, but you have to listen to yourself to see how you sound. Practice in front of your friends, and it depends on the speech. Like, if it's something that you're, like I said, something you know about, something you're passionate about, your enthusiasm will come through naturally because you really believe it. You really think this is a good idea. You were there. You did this, and you're trying to get the audience to be in that moment with you. So sometimes it can be natural. It depends on the subject, and always keep your audience in mind.
Yes. And I just want to ask you this question. Maybe it's not public speaking, but I'm thinking that your type of training might help people with this. Have you ever been in a meeting when you're kind of sitting there listening, but you're daydreaming, and then someone says something, and it's your name, and you go, oh, and you realize they just asked you a question, and your heart starts beating like crazy, and you have to say, would you repeat the question? Now, would this kind of training, would that help me do a little impromptu speech there where I need to make an answer to someone?
Yeah, in fact, this scenario reminds me of a something we do in Toastmasters called Table Topics, which is where you're given a subject, you don't know what it is, and you have to make a comment about it, and there's all kinds of tricks that you can use to make it look like or politely tell them to repeat it. But absolutely, you need to have a few quick responses in your head, as in, excuse me, I would love to comment on that, but I'd appreciate it if you could repeat it. Be honest about it. Don't go off the cliff, because if you're way off, they're going to know absolutely we're not paying attention. But they probably know that anyway if you're sleeping. But just be honest and ask them to repeat it. Honestly, it's the better.
Yeah, exactly. Now, when would we use visuals? Are visuals important to a speech?
They can be if you're trying to show something. You got to be careful of Best by PowerPoint. You don't want a presentation that distracts from you as a speaker. It's okay to have pictures, but just don't rely on it entirely, because people will be so engrossed with whatever you have up there, your voice will be like, wah, 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 in the background, and they won't know what you said. They're good. Make sure that you limit them as much as you can. Make sure they're relevant. Make sure they're interesting. And try not to stray from your topic because you're using them. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes they can be too much when you don't need them.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say just by PowerPoint, because, you know, a few years ago, if you didn't have PowerPoint, everybody asked about there was something wrong with you. And then we got to where we saw a lot of speakers that just read off their slides.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the slides have so much information on them that you couldn't possibly read it all anyway. And so I think your point there about, you know, making it support what you say is so very, very important. And I like pictures. I'm very big on pictures. But I think speakers can build a picture with stories. They can build a picture in the other person's mind. And wouldn't that be the way to go?
Oh, yes. I love that idea. The pictures to me are much better than a lot of print on a PowerPoint, because, like you said, if it's that much print on a PowerPoint, then use it as a handout. Take the most important sheets and pass it out. The only reason why I don't encourage that is because you don't want them reading while talking. So it's a fine line. You have to really think about what your objective is and what you want to accomplish.
Well, I got to tell you, I so appreciate you being here. I feel like I've gotten a lot out of today, and I know our listeners have. Deborah, tell people how they can contact you, or if they would be interested in having some training with you, how they could go about doing that.
Well, as I mentioned, I am one of the professionals on Pop Expert. That's PopExpert.com. Or you can visit my personal webpage, which is eClark, eClark, 6581.com.
All right. And they can contact you through your personal website or at experttop.com/Deborah. Oh, I'm sorry. It's PopExpert, popexpert.com/Deborah-Clark-DPM. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you.
I finally got it out of my mouth. Listeners, thank you for being with us today. We so appreciate you being here, and forgive me for screwing up Deborah's way that you could contact her. If you didn't get that, please contact me, Judy@judymorio.com, and I'll give it to you, or just write me a little email, and I'll give it to you again. But that's DeborahClark@popexpert.com, Deborah Clark, and that's DeborahH. Thank you for being with us. We so appreciate you. Let me know what it is you want to hear and what type of guest you'd like me to invite for the show. And the big thing I want you to always, always, always remember is that you are more than enough. You can do it because you are more than enough.